This is Capital Insider, taking you inside politics, policy, and government in Oklahoma. I'm Dick Pryor with Quorum Call publisher Sean Ashley. On Wednesday night, Ryan Walters announced that he's resigning as Oklahoma's state superintendent. Thus ends a tumultuous 2.5 years in office as he begins a new job with a national teacher organization.
That's right. Walters is leaving to become chief executive officer of the Teacher Freedom Association, an affiliate of the Conservative Freedom Foundation. The association exists, its website says, to develop moral, free, and upright American citizens through the support and development of public school teachers. It promotes itself as kind of a conservative alternative to the National Education Association or the American Federation of Teachers. And like those groups, it does offer professional liability insurance and professional development, as well as access to alternative curriculum ranging from the science of reading to classical mathematics to explicit instructions in the Socratic method.
Sean, how will the vacant state superintendent position be filled?
Governor Kevin Stitt will appoint Walter's successor, who will serve the remainder of his term into January 2027. Now, the Oklahoma Constitution does impose certain limits. Like a superintendent elected by a vote of the people, the person must be at least 31 years old and having been a registered voter for at least 10 years in the state of Oklahoma. The Constitution also limits, though, filling vacancies from the legislature, so a current member of the legislature cannot be appointed, nor someone who has served within the previous 2 years.
There are various controversial policies, actions, and proclamations put forward by Walters, some of which have drawn legal challenges. So what happens to those things he has set in motion?
That largely will be up to who Governor Stitt appoints to succeed Walters. The new superintendent can undo many of those policies or continue them. It just depends on what they see fit. The legal challenges are a little more complicated. In some instances, like the social studies standards, for example, those cases likely will continue through the judicial process. Those standards were approved by the board and by default by the legislature, so they are standards until the court says they're not, and currently they're simply on hold. The new superintendent could seek to settle other cases or ask that those cases be dismissed. Once again, it will be up to that individual.
Walters did not discuss his resignation at Thursday's State Board of Education meeting, despite the news being out. How did members of the state school board react to his impending departure?
Well, it was kind of the elephant in the room. It was obviously hanging over the proceedings, but really no mention of it was made until the end of the meeting, when board member Mike Tenney wished Walters well, and Walters thanked him for that. Now, let's remember, Governor Stitt appointed 4 new members of the board, a majority, this year, and they have often been at odds with Walters. So Becky Carson, after the meeting, said, "I believe that the superintendent's resignation opens the door for us to now make progress on this board and do what's best for the children of the state."
And Walters' decision has some obvious implications for the 2026 statewide election.
It really does. First, Walters had not announced whether he would seek re-election. 4 Republicans already have announced their plans to seek the Republican nomination for that office, and 1 Democrat has also announced their candidacy. So it appears that that was and probably will be a hotly contested race, and whoever Governor Stitt appoints to become the new superintendent will be the incumbent if they decide to run in the 2026 election. And then there's the governor's race, where Walters was considered a possible candidate. Recent polling showed him significantly behind the frontrunner, Attorney General Gettner Drummond. But there is no doubt his presence in the race would have been disruptive, particularly for those candidates hoping to make it into a runoff with Drummond or some other frontrunner. So his absence likely will change the dynamics of that race.
It's a fascinating story. Thanks, Sean.
You're very welcome.
For more information, go to quorumcall.online. You can find video of Capital Insider segments on the KGOU YouTube channel. Audio and transcripts are at kgou.org. And look for Capital Insider where you get podcasts. Until next time, with Sean Ashley, I'm Dick Pryor.
It's rare to find a podcast that can actually change your life. But when the show's called Life Kit, that's kind of the whole point. I'm Mariel Segarra. 3 times a week on the Life Kit podcast, we guide you through a topic we could all use help with, from personal development to healthy living to managing your dinero, with takeaways so you can start living what you learn right away. Escucha el Life Kit podcast from NPR.